Hometown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Emil Fragoso joins us, Sactown Sports Niners insider. Emil, did you get any sleep last night?
Did
you go to the 24-hour coffee spot?
No, I powered through. I only wrote one story. It was a good one, though, about Brock Purdy. And I went to bed about 2 a.m.
Is it up now? Can we check that
out?
It
is up right now, yes.
Everybody go check that out, SactownSports.com. Emil, I don't know where to start. We were together for more time yesterday than we have been in the history of our lives.
Ever.
And it was a great time. Thank you for picking me up and dropping me off. Just give us your takeaway, your initial takeaway from the game, wherever you want to start. The floor is yours.
Brock Purdy, heck of a game manager. Heck of a game manager, man. I'm just joking because obviously that was the sentiment from Fred Warner and others after the game of, you know, the game manager talk of Brock Purdy. He can't go down and win games. Brock Purdy, yes, he had a very dismal first half again. The Niners in general had a very, very porous first half, and they will have to figure that out going into the Super Bowl against the Kansas City Chiefs because if they go down 14-0 against Patrick Mahomes, I don't know if they're coming back. Right. I'm going to be honest with you. But the Niners and good football teams do what they have to do to win games when it matters. And at the end of the day, they won. They had 27 unanswered points against the Detroit Lions when everything was going the Lions' way coming out of the halftime whistle, and they got it done. And they got it done not only because of Brock Purdy's throwing ability, but also because of his legs and his ability to make plays happen when everything else broke down. Credit to him, Brock Purdy, silencing all the doubters today, including Ryan Clark. And the Niners going back to their first Super Bowl in 5 seasons.
Yeah, we'll have sound from Ryan Clark a little later in the show. We just want to have a conversation with Niner fans. Is it okay to let people back in the club once they admit that they were wrong? Or is Ryan Clark still on the no-fly zone as far as getting into San Francisco or Santa Clara? And can you hop on a bandwagon and just admit, hey, I got this one wrong? Yeah, I mean, we're there, and in the media room, it's just quiet no matter what. But the Dan Gamble stuff, Campbell gamble, is it fair to ask the question whether or not the Niners won this game or did the Lions lose this game?
It's fair. I think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
I mean, we watched that game, right? In the first half, the Lions were able to move the line of scrimmage on every single run play by about 3 yards. Mm-hmm. And that was the real difference, was the war of the trenches. And then we had talked about this previously of Lions have a great offensive line.
Right.
The Niners defensive line has to set the tone. They have to control the edge. And they just weren't doing it. Jahmyr Gibbs was running all over them. I mean, I heard you earlier talking about the Chase Young play and his lack of character on that one touchdown run by Jahmyr Gibbs. This Niners team was getting flat out embarrassed in the first half. They just were, both offensively and defensively. They weren't able to do what they had been doing all year. The Lions came out and smacked them in the mouth.
Yeah, but Kyle Shanahan even said thank you to the Lions for not running the football anymore.
I mean, how do you go from dominating line of scrimmage, dominating the run game, to having 6 rushes in the third quarter? 6.
It doesn't make any sense.
Running flea slickers and reverse end arounds. They shot themselves in the foot, the Lions did. And this goes back to the lack of experience of a veteran head coach. Dan Campbell hasn't been there and done that. So, yes, we talk about
Ben Johnson, too.
Ben Johnson as well, being offensive coordinator. We talk about Dan Campbell and all of the aggressive play call he did. And I have discussed this on multiple occasions the last couple hours. Why the hell do you not go for a touchdown to end the half, but you go for the 4th and 2 when you can just take the points and go up 3 scores?
Yeah.
Like, there are certain moments in the game where it's like, be aggressive, hold back. Be aggressive, hold back. You're playing for the points when it's in the third quarter. You're going for the kill at halftime because they can't go down and score in 7 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And that felt like a real turning point for them of like, we're not totally sure. Dan kind of questioning himself of when to just go for the kill.
Because they were hanging out for a little bit.
Yeah.
And we didn't know if it was a mind game or if they truly didn't know what they wanted to do.
Yeah, they kept going back and forth. Yeah. Like, we're going for it, we're not going for it. And then eventually they just kicked the field goal. And I just thought, man, what a wasted opportunity for them to go up 28-7. The game is probably over at 28-7. Let's be honest here. It's a race to 30. And I don't see them not scoring 3 points in the second half. And so that was a flipping point. And then as soon as the 4th and 2 didn't go their way, you could feel the momentum start to shift. And everything else swayed back the Niners' way. Lions got hurt. They couldn't catch passes. Gibbs had the fumble, the turnover. And on the other end of the offense, they just started playing Niner football, and Brock Purdy just started making plays. And that's all really what it came down to, is what team was hot at the end of the game. And it was the Niners, not the Lions.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Niners have definitely showed some cracks in the armor these past 2 weeks. I mean, what concerns you most going against a team, and more specifically an opponent like Patrick Mahomes, who will definitely exploit those cracks?
It's the run defense. Yeah. Like, they've been 28th in the run the last few weeks, and it's really show. I mean, they were getting carved up by Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs over and over and over again. They just couldn't do anything to stop him. They kept running at Chase Young for a reason. He's not very good against the run, and it showed. And this Niners team needs to figure out how to contain the edge. Steve Wilks talked about it all week long after the Green Bay Packer game, after Aaron Jones went off. All week long about setting the edge, setting the tone, getting off the field on third and long. I had multiple strings of threads of just third and 10, Niners don't got the field. Third and 16, Niners don't got the field. Third and 7, guess what? They're not getting off the field. It's these third and long situations that also drive me bananas with this Niners defense, because you, especially as a defense that they pride themselves on three and outs, getting off the field, you have to stop someone after they get a false start penalty, after they get a holding penalty. And they just couldn't do it against this Lions offense. And to their credit, the Lions let them back into the game and they figured it out and they got the stops they needed to. But there are definitely cracks in the armor, like you said, Chris. Mm.
Yeah, and just looking forward, Emil, look, we got 2 weeks to do this. I've already said that about five times on this show already. But the Chiefs.
Yep.
And, you know, maybe not the best offensive weaponry that Patrick Mahomes has had in the past. But at this point, you could say one of the best defenses he's had on the other side. Like you said, the Chiefs came out and we were in translation as we were getting to the game and all that jazz. But you look up and the Chiefs score first in Baltimore.
Yep.
They set the tone. They did not score in the second half. So you can stop the Chiefs. What are you thinking about Niners Chiefs just initially? We will do this again when we are in Vegas. But what do you think initially with the Chiefs and the problems that they present besides Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, it's that defense right there. DVOA number 7 all year long. And I was talking with David Lombardi actually as the Niner game was going to kick off, even for walkouts for the Niners. And I was like, are you surprised this is the outcome? And he goes, nope, I honestly predicted this because this was what could happen with the Chiefs. We knew all season long, they've been showing them all year long that this was what they were. Their offense wasn't their strength. It was their defense that was their strength all year. And they showed it against the Ravens. And the Ravens have a lot of questions to answer because of it. But at the end of the day, on the other end, while they don't have certain skill players, they have Patrick Mahomes. And I think we're learning very quickly that do not bet against Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs.
Mm. Something that I didn't think was talked about enough after the first game was the fact the Niners had no sacks. And then in yesterday's game, still didn't really see a lot of pressure until I think in the second half, Bosa had 2 sacks.
Yeah.
How big is it for Bosa to find the quarterback in the playoffs? But B, in general, I mean, you're going against Patrick Mahomes, who's a bad man, and we've seen him have the ability to scramble, which to your point about setting the edge is going to be pretty important against that team. But how important is it for the Niners pass rush in total, not just Bosa, because they're also paying Armstead and they're paying Hargrave as well, and Chase Young, who definitely had some questionable moments on Sunday. But how big is it for the Niners pass rush to get home on Super Bowl Sunday?
That's their bread and butter, right? That's
supposed to be.
It's supposed to be. That's kind of falling on Nick Bosa, too, who had a streak of playoff games without a sack for a couple games there and finally broke that this game of getting back to it in the playoffs. And that's going to be the key, yes.
There were crucial sacks.
They were crucial, and they weren't even like kind of little sacks. He mauled through that line and destroyed.
He took them out of field goal range.
He did. Bosa.
Well, not that they were going to kick it out.
Yeah. You know.
Solid point.
You could tell Bosa really wanted this. You could tell that Bosa felt it was slipping away. And when we were talking with Bosa last night, he was honest. Mm-hmm. Probably a more candid Bosa than we usually get, actually. He flat out admitted he knows it was embarrassing what happened to us in the first half. And it just wasn't going to stand. And I was talking with, the guys, he was saying, and I was like, we just can't have that. He's shouting out words he can't say on air. And he's just upset because the Niners, the last 2 weeks, especially on defense, hadn't played to their standards, especially on the defensive line, letting all these cracks happen. And
not to cut you off, but that was my question. Mm-hmm. Because in the first half, there's plenty of blame to go around. But does it feel like the Steve Wilks thing has been a bit overblown? We do this with the Kings. When the Kings aren't playing well, there's always somebody that says, you know, Mike Brown this, Mike Brown that. when the Niners defense isn't playing well, how much of that is scheme and how much of that is your players just aren't? Is it Steve Wilkes' fault that in the first half Chase Young just got blown by? How much of it is on Steve Wilkes when they're not playing well?
I think it's partially on him for sure. I mean, it comes down to the game plan, mm-hmm. right? Blitzing when you need to and holding back when you don't. I mean, a lot of the time the Lions were just doing simple stuff in the offense with the passing game, especially quick out to Amon-Ra, quick short curl for Sam Laporta to just go off on a 16-yard catch and run. It was simple stuff of playing that zone and playing a little too prevent because you were worried about Jahmyr Gibbs breaking off that long run that was kind of playing into the Lions' favor and why they were able to get those short yardage completions and turn them into first downs. Mm-hmm. And that kind of falls on Steve Wilkes that way of not having the defense set certain ways. So just looking at the chatter online during halftime, I mean, people were calling for Steve Wilkes' head.
I know.
They were. Yeah. And they kind of had a point because the Lions were doing whatever they wanted. I mean, to have Jamison Williams have a 42-yard reverse end around out of the gate, that's horrible. It's horrible. You can't have that.
Emil, just real quick before we get you out of here, I'm sorry to put you on the spot like this, but I'm just looking at your Twitter feed, and it goes from Niners stall, Jake Moody makes the kick 24-10 at the moment. The very next tweet at 5:36 p.m. yesterday, this game feels over.
Yes.
What happened? What was the moment yesterday? Was there a play? Was there just something you felt? What was the exact moment you could pinpoint where you were like, this thing actually might not be over?
It was the fourth and two. It was the Lions not converting on their fourth and two. Them gambling, kind of they're gambling the possessions away. That's where it felt like it was over. Of like life, Niners have a chance here because then they go right down and score. And that was the reality of can they just put up points and get enough stops to keep the Lions off the field? And to their credit, they got enough because they went 27 unanswered in the second half.
Yeah,
and that's where it was like holy cow. Because as soon as we're sitting there after they get that first touchdown, they make it 24, I believe, to 14 at that time. Dan Campbell comes back on offense. Offense comes back, and we're like, they need a turnover right now. Literally next play, Jahmyr Gibbs fumbles.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, boy, here we go. Because you could feel, and as soon as that happened, you could feel Levi's rocking. You could feel everything shift in that stadium, and that's where it changed.
And the Jahmyr Gibbs thing, you know, I give Kyle Shanahan a lot of grief for trying to outsmart himself, which he kind of did early on in this game as well. But they kept on trying to run Jahmyr Gibbs early until they stopped David Montgomery. What are you doing? Why did you continue to just, we're gonna trick him here? You weren't. David Montgomery was running the rock. I did not understand that at all. And I think everybody, me personally, I felt like, okay, this is it. This fourth and two, the whole gambling thing. The bottom line is Dan Campbell should have looked at this and said, we basically just got away. We're going to Vegas here. So you got to leave when the table's hot.
Yes.
The fact that you were up that much and you know your pass, now they have to pass.
Yeah.
And your pass defense isn't good. You should have said, okay, we held them to a field goal. Yeah. Let's just match them with the field goal. Even if they miss, sure, at least you can say, hey, we tried to match him. But you should have left the table when you were hot. He tried to double down roulette. Yeah. Let me put four more chips on my favorite number. And next thing you know, you're looking down at your chips and they're all gone. Yeah. Emil Fragoso, thank you so much. We will do this again next week. Great stuff, my guy. Go again, check out Emil's newest article on SacktownSports.com. He's got a bunch more content coming out as we get you ready, get you set for the Niners headed to another Super Bowl. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Thank you again to Emil Fragoso, Sacktown Sports 49ers insider. Emil trying to talk some Kings during the break as they take on the Memphis Grizzlies tonight. Chris, you said they're injury report is like a war zone.
It's a list. It's an injury list. Where should I start? Should I start with questionable, doubtful, or out?
All of the above.
Okay, questionable. Vince Williams Jr., who we were actually just talking about, has left knee soreness. He's questionable. Doubtful will be John Conchar with a left ankle sprain and Zaire Williams with a left hand soreness. You ready for this? Out. Steven Adams, which we knew. Desmond Bane, who will be out with left ankle sprain. Brandon Clark, who's out for the season. Luke Kennard, who's out with left knee soreness. Jake LaRavia, who's out with a left ankle sprain. John Morant, who's out for the season. Derrick Rose, who's out with a left hamstring strain. And last but not least, Marcus Smart with right ring finger central slip tear, which we saw was from him hitting the Carmelo 3 to the head.
Goodness.
And yeah, he's still hurt.
Who is left on their roster?
That's a great question.
Why did they get rid of Kenneth Lofton Jr.?
I really wish I had answers for you. I love basketball, but I cannot tell you who is on the Memphis Grizzlies besides those players that I listed. So
are any of those guys
a learning experience for all of us tonight?
I mean,
GG Jackson, I can tell you that.
It goes without saying that the Kings, I mean,
no, that you have to.
I don't even want to. Yeah, I don't even want to entertain this.
Yeah, this is almost like it could be just as bad as losing to the Pistons at this point.
Honestly, roster wise, so based on the names you said,
might be worse. Actually,
I'm doing the process of elimination.
Please.
So they will see Jaren Jackson.
Yes. Okay. There's a name.
They will see Jaren Jackson. You definitely said Conchar. I heard you.
Conchar is cool. Just doubtful.
Okay, Jaren Jackson Jr., yep. David Roddy.
Yes, big body Roddy.
GG Jackson the second.
Yes, he will play. He'll for sure play.
Scottie Pippen Jr.
That's insane.
And then did you say Jacob Gilliard?
I did not.
Okay, so that's five. Jaren Jackson, that's one. David Roddy, yes. David Roddy, two.
He's good.
GG Jackson, three.
He's
Scottie Pippen, four.
Yes.
And you said Xavier Tillman, didn't you?
I did not. Xavier Tillman will be playing.
Xavier Tillman and then Jacob Gilliard. So they have six.
Oh, they have six. Okay, they got six. A bench guy at least. Let's see here. Santi Aldama. I don't think I said him, right?
Oh, you did? So that's seven.
Yes, yeah, Santi Aldama will be out there.
That's seven.
There you go. I think that's... Yeah, I mean, everybody else that I'm seeing... I'm looking literally at the box score from... the Grizzlies game on Sunday. This was yesterday. They played the Pacers right. And lost 116-110.
And Vince Williams played 36 minutes and had 20, and now he's out.
Now he's questionable. Questionable.
Questionable.
Conchar is out, or doubtful. And Zaire Williams is also doubtful. So you have three of the nine guys already, to your point, six guys pretty much available for Memphis tonight, and I think that's actually it. Maybe they have a couple G Leaguers that they have, you know, called up or something, mm-hmm. but it seems like the Grizzlies are playing with about six or seven people tonight.
So, I mean, we'll do dog segment, but we know what it is, man. The Kings, they skate by. Malik Monk, goodness gracious, my guy. I know we've talked about sports psychology and all that jazz. You got to get rid of those yips. It's pretty scary,
scary
at this point.
Very scary.
It is scary at this point. I don't want him at the line. Honestly, Chris, 1 second left in the game. Kings are down two. I'd rather have Sabonis at the line than Malik. Right now, if you're asking me right
now. I disagree completely.
Chris.
I think that's a bit of a hyperbole.
Chris.
Allen Styles.
What about Fox? Both of those guys have been better than Malik.
I'm still taking Malik at the line.
Chris, it's up here.
I'm still taking Malik.
It's up here, man.
What do you think those other two
dudes? It's Carmelo.
What about those other two dudes? What's their excuse?
They've been hitting.
They're
at
the
line.
They're in their heads, and they're just bad percentages.
Okay, somebody makes a bad tech and with a second left. Kings are down one.
Yeah.
Who are you sending to the line?
I'll tell you who we're not. How about it might be easier to do the process of elimination.
Well, we gotta say the lineup. Keegan's in the line.
Keegan's a maybe.
Here's the lineup.
Yep.
Keegan, Malik.
Okay.
Sabonis.
Okay.
Harrison.
Yeah.
Fox.
Crazy as it is, because he literally airballed a free throw in the fourth quarter, I think Harrison Barnes would be my choice.
Yeah.
And I think he took two technical free throws in that game, and he made them both.
He made them both. He made one.
What was the air ball was the tech. So, you know, that's really, that right there is telling you where the place in which the Kings are at right now is that Harrison Barnes, who did airball a fourth quarter technical free throw, I would still probably have him take the free throw just because you mix the he hasn't had a collapse yet at a crucial point yet is the clear word there. And he's about like an 80-something percent free throw shooter. The problem with Keegan going up there, Keegan ideally is the best pure shooter, but
no, he misses
doesn't
a lot of
take
free
enough free throws. Yeah, he doesn't take enough to ever get into a rhythm or to feel like, okay, yeah, he's a good free throw shooter. So I think I'm going Harrison at this moment. I'm definitely not going Sabonis. I'll tell you that right now.
All right, maybe that was a little much, Sabonis. But I'm just saying Malik is dropping down my list is my point.
Okay,
you got to start making some of these. And it's very specific. You got to start making some of these when they matter, and Malik hasn't been able to do it. Got to get to a break. When we get back, more Niners talk. This one goes out to the Raiders fans. You got a team that you hate, a rival in your division, and a team that you hate, a rival just in life. Who do you want to win the Super Bowl? If you don't have to choose, but a lot of people are choosing, and I want to know where you stand. Also, yeah, we teased it, so we'll get into it. Chris Watkins, a lot of people on the text line don't like what you had to say when I asked the question, does Brock Purdy have anything left to prove, or do you have any more doubts? We'll let Nate hop in as well on his thoughts. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
The team that you hate versus the team that you hate. I just want to take a second to talk with the Raider fans out there. And we already have a texter on the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, all guests and callers and texters join us from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. 916, they say I'm a diehard Raider fan and an avid 49er hater. But the thought of seeing Mahomes, Kelce, Taylor Swift, and the Chiefs celebrating a Super Bowl win in our home stadium makes me want to puke. Go Niners.
Whoa.
But that's the take, though, right? You got to stay true to hating your division opponent. Mm. I don't think you can root for the Chiefs if you are a Raiders fan.
That's really tough, though, because it's like it still brings up the – and I guess, you know, with the Raiders moving, it might not be that much at the forefront of the conversation, but I still feel like there's the Niner-Raider disdain for each other for, you know, hey, this is our turf. No, this is our turf. And, you know, oh, you fans are like this while us fans are like this. And – I'm surprised to hear that passion, because it's local. It's something that you deal with in your day-to-day. Like, how often do Oakland Raider fans deal with a Chief fan in their life, but versus how often they have to deal with Niner fans and them talking about their team in your life? So I actually think that kind of surprises me to hear that, you know, they really dislike the Chiefs more than they dislike the Niners, because in a way, it is kind of like the question that Kings fans got asked last year when they were eliminated. Yeah. Lakers, Warriors, which one upsets you more? There's one that's a real rival, like a real, real, real rival with history. And there's one that, you know, has some good matchups between the two. De'Aaron Fox doesn't consider it a rivalry. And it's more so a local turf battle than an actual. I mean, the games obviously have their say in it, too, but. It's interesting.
The only argument I would have for the Raider fan to root for the Niners is that the Chiefs have already done it. So you've already had to wear it from the Chiefs, and they have one of the best quarterbacks of all time. So they've already won it. You're already kind of used to them winning it.
I would think.
And now you got to throw in, not only did the Chiefs win it, now you got to deal with your Niner fan friend saying we won it in your stadium.
Yep.
So that would be the argument, the only argument I could think of right here from Matthew Henson on the Sack Chat. Shout out to Sack Chat. Haven't given them a shout out yet. Shout out to the Sack Chat. having a good time in there. From Matthew Henson, any real Raider fan would pull for the 49ers or not root for anyone at all, which we know that's the easy. Nobody is rooting for anyone, but you watch, your heartstrings are going to pull you in a certain direction. He continues, as Raider fans, we can never, in all caps, pull for the Chiefs. As much as I dislike the Niners, I hate the Chiefs even more. So that's two Raider fans saying that you cannot root for the Chiefs. And I get it. It's roles reversed because the Niners have been in glory all these years, even though they haven't won the big one. If the Raiders were playing at Levi's and it was the Raiders versus the Rams.
Or Seahawks,
Or Seahawks. I think it's very simple. The Niners would be rooting for the Raiders.
Yes.
It's not even close.
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit of a little brother situation where the Raiders haven't been in the same prominence of the Niners.
Yeah.
But if you flip it, it actually makes this very simple because the Niners, I don't think there's a Niner fan out there that would be rooting for the Seahawks or the Rams instead of the Raiders.
No, absolutely. I completely agree with you. And I would build on that and say that's like, to that point, I really think that's why I'm kind of surprised that the Raider fans aren't going for the Chiefs, because I think that the again, the proximity
to the
Niners. But
that's the opposite of what I just said, though.
Well, I'm saying that it's the big brother, little brother is more the angle I was going to take. I think that that would lend itself to say, again, I think I'm surprised to hear that Raider fans aren't more upset at the no, like these guys are the people that I have to deal with on a day-to-day basis, and they try and sun us all the time. I'm not a Raider fan either, so I guess my take in this is irrelevant, but I just am surprised that that's not being factored more into this, because from the complete outsider perspective, it has always felt like Niner fans have felt, you know, the organization, the fan base is both just step above Raider fans, and Raider fans are a little bit more gritty and, you know, hard nose and, you know, peeing in troughs and stuff at their stadium, you know, and while Niner fans are, you know, got
eating
charcuterie
and
boards
crackers
and all that stuff. And I'm really surprised that that hasn't stuck around with Raider fans. That would really, that's the kind of stuff that really gets under my skin as a fan, like with the Warriors and the Kings angle of this is really the little brothering of it all.
Yeah, look, either way, the Raiders are down bad. It's just which down bad do you want to be? Do you want to be down bad to a dynasty happening? And by the way, Raiders even, I know they got their guy in Antonio Pierce, but now they got Harbaugh in the division.
That's a good
point,
right.
You got to deal with that, and Harbaugh probably has his quarterback, you would think, for the next 5 to 10 years, unless Justin Herbert turns into a pumpkin and he really ends up not being that guy. So either way, you're down bad. It's just a matter of what down bad do you actually want to be. By the way, you want to stick around, 1 p.m., pair of tickets being given away for Eddie Griffin. Live Nation has teamed up with Sacktown Sports to hook you up with tickets to check out comedy legend Eddie Griffin live at the Hard Rock Sacramento April 13th. I have not been to the Hard Rock in Sacramento yet.
It's really nice. Yeah, I went out there during, actually it was around this time last year, and it's an incredible venue. They have a...
What did you see there? Was it a band or was it like a comedian or what?
No, I actually didn't see anybody. We were there for a station event and I just kind of walked around and we got to see the place with their event hall and all that, and it's top notch. It's really crazy out there, so I would definitely recommend you go.
A year ago I went to see the UFC like G League there, Uriah Faber's thing.
Oh yeah, yeah, I remember you did that. Yeah.
Honestly, it was amazing.
Yeah,
I'm not even. We're not sponsored, whatever. But that venue is very cool. Yeah. I haven't seen the new Thunder Valley one, but the Hard Rock was sick.
Yeah,
drive not the best, but
hit up the Folsom Lake Honda hotline at 1 p.m. and we will tell you what caller we are looking for at that time to win a pair of tickets to check out Eddie Griffin. For more information, visit sacktownsports.com. As we get back into a conversation about Brock Purdy. Chris, you sat here.
Yep.
And I asked you the question last week, and you said, yeah, the comeback victory, you know, they were only down. And I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. They were only down 4, whatever the case is. To see what he just did yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely.
In this situation, what question marks could be left or
Brock? No, for me, it's all bigger picture questions of like...
Winning a Super Bowl.
Not winning a Super Bowl. No. I've thought Brock could win a Super Bowl. I've said it all year that Brock could win the Super Bowl and that he would not hamper the Niners from their ability to reach the big game. My questions are more just, hey, when you get paid and the weapons aren't going to be there, which is going to happen at some point here,
right,
pretty soon, are you going to be able to elevate the team? Because that's what they're going to pay him to do. Even if he doesn't get paid the full, you know, Lamar Jackson money or anything like that, he's going to get paid more than what he's getting paid right now, pretty significant, like 20 times as much at least as he's getting paid now. And that's going to lead to whether it be offensive line, whether it be to only having one star receiver or having, you know, only okay average running back. Something is going to fall because Brock Purdy is going to get paid what he's going to get paid. My question is now just, can we start to, and this is after this season, but can we start to move towards, okay, Brock is really picking things up that are going to actually eliminate the conversation of, can this guy do it without talent? But I've never questioned all year long, can Brock lead this team to a Super Bowl? Is Brock good enough? Absolutely. I mean, he was clearly the best quarterback for this team this year. And I don't have questions on, you know, small things like what we were talking about last week. He's now proven to me that it's not impossible for him to come back from two scores down, from 10 down, and win a game. But now it's big picture questions, and those questions are not going to be answered this season, but those are still questions I have. He has not answered every question that comes with a quarterback.
But he did elevate the team with all those stars on the field.
Sure.
That he did elevate that team yesterday.
That's great. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But I like elevating a team is baseline what you're supposed to do as a quarterback. Like, how much can you elevate the team, and can you actually like elevate the team past, can you make a game that you're not supposed to win into a game that you do win? And he did that yesterday.
He absolutely did it yesterday.
But again, the questions are going to come with without Debo or without, you know, all of these weapons. And to Brock's credit, he did spread it around yesterday. There was not that was all Debo.
How about you check that long throw in the first half and then the toe tap on the side? I mean, no. Brock was dead to rights on that play too.
He was great. Yeah, he escaped the pocket. Talk about Eli Manning. Yeah. Escaped the pocket there and then made a dart on the sideline. But the question becomes, can he do it, you know, multiple times in a season? And, you know, can he do it multiple times in the playoffs as well? It's not, you know, you might say it's not fair to ask those questions and you keep moving the goalpost further and further, but that's how this game is played. That's why it's the toughest position in sports, is because even when you feel like you've answered all the questions, there's five more right behind you. We still have questions about Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, so you better believe we're still going to have questions about Brock Purdy.
Now, if he's got hardware where they don't, and we can do the roster conversation, that's fair, but if he's got hardware and depending on how it looks, those questions could get answered the same way Brock did his thing yesterday. We all know that, right? 1,000%. We all know that. And if you take a step back, the same way Russell Westbrook does when people are on him and he says, hey, based on my situation and where I am now, I'm already a champion.
Yes, right.
You can make the argument and to take a step back and to have the bigger picture. And I think we don't do a lot of big picture conversations because we understand it. But if we do have that big picture conversation and we say, look, if you have a guy that you drafted in the seventh round and you win, not just go, I think that's a big thing though.
Huge. It's massive.
Because they've been waiting for this with this core.
Yeah.
If you win it this year and you can say we got a Super Bowl with Mr. Irrelevant, you cash out Brock however you see fit, you ride it out whether it's a 4-year, 5-year deal, maybe you get another one, maybe you don't, and then you just refresh. I think if he wins it, you can't move on,
no,
I guess is what I'm
impossible.
Saying. Now,
it's
will
impossible.
He be able to do things once a Debo or a Ayuk or whoever's gone? I don't know.
Right.
But then we'll see, okay, John Lynch, was it you or Adam Peters in terms of bringing in this talent? Because you're going to have to replace those guys, which is what the Patrick Mahomes, and this is Ryan Clark with the dark eyeshadow, and he was going emo last week. The hardest thing I had to do. Can you do that the same way Mahomes has done it? We're not comparing him to Mahomes, no. But we see the difference in their pay right now. It won't be as different. Mm-hmm. How much could it be? A couple a couple situations where he scampers like he did, or I think that's the word George Kittle used, scamper like a little dragon. That's what he does when he runs around. If he does that, he did it last game. If he does that in the Super Bowl, what does that mean? He's got a whole nother year. So that price tag could just continue to go up. Real quick before we get to a break, from Amy Trask, who was the exec who said that you have all out of all those seven, what was it, eight terrific quarterbacks?
Yeah. No, seven terrific quarterbacks
and Brock Purdy. Out of those seven terrific quarterbacks and Brock Purdy, is Brock Purdy and the future GOAT left, right? So yes, that was kind of a miss. She did respond after Brock. She did respond after Brock beat the Packers, and she said, "Dear Brock, you led your 49ers to a game-winning touchdown. Congratulations. If you advance to the Super Bowl, which I believe you will, I'll treat you to ice cream in Vegas. Congratulations, 49er fans. Enjoy this." She quote tweets that yesterday saying, "Congratulations, Brock Purdy. You have ice in your veins, a tremendous trait. You have laser focus, a tremendous trait. You got it done. After the last game, I congratulated you and said that I expected the 49ers to be in the Super Bowl. And you are. Congratulations again."
It's Amy Trask has made herself the main character.
It's backhanded to me.
She's patting herself on the back. Yeah, she's like, yeah, look how smart I am.
It's backhanded to me. Energy. Ice in your veins, something you can't quantify. Laser focus, something you can't quantify. So there, people like this who have been in charge of these drafts, they're still saying, we didn't miss on Brock Purdy because these are things that you cannot measure at the draft.
Sure.
And so maybe you did miss on Brock, and it's a matter of how you measure these things. You do hand size, you do foot size, you do fingernail size, you do 40-yard dash, you do bench press, you do all these things. And look, they have the cognitive test that C.J. Stroud failed, yes, and C.J. Stroud balled out. So she's just admitting that we don't have a way to measure this now. So I didn't really miss because based on what, or nobody missed, based on what we measure things on, Brock ain't it. These traits like ice in your veins and laser focus, we can't measure that. So Amy Trask with the most backhanded compliment that you, I think you've ever heard, and she'll probably continue to do it. But again, this is the first time we've mentioned Amy Trask in about 5 years. So Brock Purdy, he's giving everybody content, whether you're for him or against him, and that's just what it is. Got to get to a break. When we get back, continuing the conversation, do you believe in momentum? George Kittle does, and we'll also we'll discuss all the lists that Brock Purdy joined. Styles and Watkins, Sackdown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
I don't know what you want, Chris Watkins. We got to do it now. We have to do it. We don't have a choice.
We definitely have a choice.
We don't have a choice. Because I don't know what it is that you want.
I don't know. I don't know what y'all want. Now you're going to make me sound like I'm a hater.
I'm not trying to make you sound like a hater. I'm trying to workshop this with you.
Okay, let's workshop it then.
What is Styles and Watkins, we were talking during the break, and we're talking about the Jared Goffs of the world, the Brock Purdy's.
Yes.
And you essentially think that, is it that you think we're not talking enough about the roster enough?
No, I think it's been brought up. I just feel like it's... I'm just more the individual that is Brock Purdy, like regardless of situation, and which has been the big talking point from everybody, which is why, again, I don't want to bring it up because I feel like it becomes this big polarizing thing with once you bring it up, it's now you're saying, okay, well, Brock Purdy sucks. Like, why are you saying he sucks? And it's like, I'm not saying he sucks. I just think with some of the success, you have to factor in some percentage of, okay, this is because of his situation, but what does this guy look independent of situation? And I think that's where a lot of the discourse comes from, where people have, like Steven Ruiz, takes it a step too far and has Brock in his 20s because he says, well, look at all the talent around him. How much is he really doing? Versus, like, you know, I just think that there's a factor of the team around him that should be accounted for when we're analyzing or when we're ranking, not even analyzing, because you can analyze without having outside context, but just when we're ranking where Brock falls in the individual quarterbacks, I still think that the overall talent around him needs to be accounted for sure.
But I think what you're saying is just more of a holistic regular season conversation. I'm putting this into the category of what we just watched.
Okay.
And it doesn't really matter what your roster is if your roster is not playing well. And also, sure, we've absolutely already established that the quarterback is the most important position in sports.
Yes.
So for as good as his roster is, I can tell you that I don't know, Chris, and I'm going to sound crazy here. I can't believe I'm saying this. I don't really know how many quarterbacks in the NFL are winning that game.
I was afraid you were going to say
that. But how many?
A lot are. Like, not a lot. Not a lot.
Jared Goff is not winning that game.
Why not? Why not?
We saw what happened. He was dead to rights multiple times. Jared Goff is a statue.
Jared Goff put up 24 points in the first half?
And didn't put up anything in the second half.
Okay.
Baker Mayfield is not winning that game.
But he was still able to put together.
I don't even
know. I'm not going to say Baker. I'm definitely
I don't know if Baker's winning that game. We can only do.
He could, though.
Let's just do playoff quarterbacks this season, right?
Yeah.
Because it's just easier that way.
Sure.
I don't think Jared Goff's winning that game. I don't think Baker Mayfield's winning that game.
But are you saying, those players with their team?
No, I'm saying on the Niners.
You're saying you don't think Josh Allen could have made a comeback against that team?
I'm saying I don't know. I'm saying I saw Brock do it. Josh Allen throws a pick. I don't know.
If we're only talking about things we saw, then Brock's the only person who I saw make a comeback on Sunday. But I'm saying that there's people who are capable.
I don't know if you put them in that situation. I think you would agree with this. Fine.
Can he make throws?
Would Lamar Jackson have come back from that yesterday with the Niners roster?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But that honestly is more my feelings on Lamar. But
he
could have. I wouldn't have bet that I think Brock has a better chance than Lamar does.
I don't know. I don't know if CJ Stroud does. I just haven't seen enough. I don't think I can say that.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe we can't count CJ Stroud. Yesterday did a lot for me, man.
Okay.
That's fine.
He's a great player. He's a really great quarterback in this league. I'm just saying I don't know if I want to put him in the top 10 of actual. And I don't know because I haven't done the list. Maybe during the break I should do my list of quarterback rankings, but I just don't know if you can say independent of situation, I would just, if we're doing a draft of quarterbacks and I'm starting not even starting a franchise, I'll just say this year, I just don't know. I don't think I would 100% have Brock Purdy as like my top eight. I just don't know 100% if I would do that because I don't know if the individual, you want to talk about things we haven't seen. Mm-hmm. I have not seen what Brock looks like outside of the situation. And the only times we have seen, they went on the 3-game losing streak. And that was just without Debo and without Trent Williams.
But listen to this. You have Brandon Ayuk, who he was all pro. He did not make it.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have what? 2 Pro Bowl. Did Debo make the Pro Bowl?
He did not.
Debo did not make the Pro Bowl. Okay.
Okay.
So you have
illustrious Pro Bowl.
You have Kittle. You have Kittle.
Yep.
Okay. You have McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Right, and I didn't really see. We talked about the Packer game, and there were a lot of checkdowns. It felt like in the Packer game with McCaffrey, and I thought, man, with the Packers, they're not going to stop this checkdown. They were doing it every single time the Niners did. Brock was just balling yesterday.
No, he was. Yesterday is not what I'm talking about.
But
Brock
it was
Purdy
the most important game of his life.
No, that's fine, and he definitely stepped up. I'm just saying he's not the only individual who would have been capable of stepping up in that moment. That's all I'm saying.
But we're seeing guys who didn't do, the guys that you're saying that you are picking over Brock have not done what Brock Purdy did.
Yeah. No, I acknowledge that for sure.
So how can you say that?
But how can you say that they wouldn't be able to? How can you 100% say that Jared Goff wouldn't be able to do that? Or
I don't think Jared Goff could do that.
I think he could have.
I really don't think Jared Goff could do that.
I think if you give him the right offense and you put the right weapons around him, I'm saying that there is a good chance or a chance that he could have done.
I think it required movement. Jared Goff doesn't have movement. In the pocket, he's not dodging sacks. Like, I think Goff takes a couple of those sacks that Brock doesn't take, and
he does not rush for 50 yards. We're getting way too focused on yesterday's specific performance.
Okay.
This conversation did not stem from, like, I'm wondering where we're putting him in just terms of all quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. That's my question. Not can you lead this, can you lead that, just if this guy is your quarterback, what can you expect in terms of sustained success? And I think Brock, I think he is a top 10.
Here's my thing. Let's look at everybody left. Besides Mahomes, who we've already acknowledged has a not a great skill set group, okay? But he is Mahomes.
Yes, he sure
Jared
is.
Goff has Sam Laporta, who is one of the best tight ends this season. Sure. Amon-Ra St. Brown, who is a top wide receiver.
Sure.
Jahmyr Gibbs, who was a breakout rookie. Yep. And David Montgomery. They had a monster of an offense,
right? Yeah.
Okay. So you have – we're just talking teams that are left.
Yeah.
Lamar, skill positions probably aren't there. You have Zay Flowers as your number one.
Yeah.
And they got
Justice Hill as their running back.
Justice Hill, and you have Gus Edwards, and then you have Odell, and obviously Mark Andrews comes back.
Yeah.
So, Lamar's offensive group, not as skilled, okay? But I would put the Lions are close to the Niners. I would put the Lions close to the Niners.
Yeah, for sure. And they have Ben Johnson, who's up there as an offensive line, for sure.
So if you are the Lions and you have Jared Goff, who has been through this time and time again, I think it says more about Jared Goff and not being able to. And now look, it's not his fault that Reynolds had popcorn before the game.
Yeah.
It's not his fault. And Jahmyr Gibbs fumbled. I get all that, but you just had a job to milk a situation, and you couldn't do it. The Packers, they're super young. I won't put the Packers in the same conversation. I guess my point is, when you get down to these playoff teams that are left, there's less of a roster argument because they're better rosters left.
Of course, yeah.
Okay, and I know that C.J. Stroud, Mahomes in a category, I would say, with their skill set groups being doing the most with the least. Then you have the Lamars, to where there's more of an argument. And I don't know what to do with the Bills, because the Bills, they have an elite wide receiver. They had a running game this season. Their number two kind of rotates. They have two good tight ends. So I don't think that what Brock is working with, and the defense couldn't do anything in the first half. So I don't think what Brock is working with, and they look like garbage, I don't think what Brock is working with is that much better once you get into the playoffs. Maybe in the regular season, but once you get in the playoffs, I think that the line is pretty even, pretty close enough to where it's not. Brock is like I don't think
Niners are 7.5-point favorites.
But I just so where are you trying to put Brock? Well, is my question.
I think he's near the top 10, but I would say he's bottom tier 2, if not top tier 3.
Okay.
And I would say that's tier 2 is definitely the, Josh Allen, the Lamar, the Joe Burrow. You'd probably still have,
Joe Burrow.
Aaron Rodgers if you want to, I guess. I don't know if you put him in there.
Okay, so where
CJ Stroud is in there. Like, I think that's just 5 to 6 quarterbacks off the top of my head. Kirk Cousins, I watch Kirk Cousins every week. I think Kirk Cousins can make every throw that Brock Purdy can throw.
You can't drop Kirk Cousins knowing we got to go. Got to get to a break when we get back.
I didn't
want to
talk about it in the first place.
Carlos, we see you on the line. Maybe you can help us out. 916-339-1140. Got to get to a break. When we get back, we continue the conversation. Also, do you believe in momentum? Got some sound from George Kittle. He does. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.